Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. December 12, 2022. Medium published my new article, Building a Network of Sensations. One of the essential properties of civilization is technology. In fact, some measurements may use the advancement of technology as a gauge to measure the advancement of civilization. From the Stone Age to the Digital Age, technology has marked our progress. However, over the past several decades, it seems as though technology has shifted from making our lives easier to dominating them altogether. Nowadays, computers not only process data, but almost think for themselves. The advent of artificial intelligence has introduced machines that can even paint expressive artworks, write heartwarming birthday greetings, or draft touching love letters. We, on the other hand, seem to be moving in the opposite direction. We know less, think less, and understand less than we did. It appears as if we have been stupefied by our own creation. However, there is good news in the ostensibly gloomy future of humanity. While our intellectual abilities are shrinking, new sensory spheres are opening up. By sensory, I am not referring to our physical senses, but to something much deeper than that. Our sensory organs are purely physical, but I am speaking of the ability to sense one another at such depths that we will be able to sense each other's feelings and thoughts as if we were one person. Clearly, this process is not a conscious effort to merge our psyches. However, it is happening nonetheless. If you look at the world around you, you will see how uniform it has become. People wear the same clothes everywhere, the majority of the world speaks English, industry is very similar throughout the world, or buys its products from the same few manufacturers, and we have become so dependent on each other that if a single country has to temporarily halt its wheat shipments, it sends the world into a spiral of price hikes. We are entering the next phase of our incorporation. Incorporation of sensations. Humanity is becoming a system of sensations where billions of people will share the same ideas, thoughts, and feelings. The more this system manifests itself, the more we will become convinced that if we want to steer our lives safely, we must study this shared system, understand its properties, requirements, and how we can become not only its hubs or pawns, but its very masters. To achieve this, we will need to acquire the properties of the system, to implement them on ourselves. Since that system is a system of connections, we, too, will have to become connected individuals. We will have to feel others and be aware of their thoughts and feelings just as today we know our own. Since today we cannot sense each other as we sense ourselves because we are disconnected from each other, we will have to relinquish what separates us from each other, our egos. The longer we hang on to our self-centeredness, the more acutely we will feel our separateness and disorientation in life. But as soon as we relinquish that one element within us, everything will become crystal clear. Just as today, we know when we are hungry because we feel hungry, we will know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it because we will simply sense it. We will not need technology, and today's most advanced innovations will become superfluous and subsequently obsolete. All we will need is to sense the network of sensations where we live, and they will guide us, safely and smoothly through life, which will no longer be arduous and painful. Opposite from the source of life. This is why the Klipata are called dead, since their oppositeness of form from the life of lives severs them from him and they have nothing of his abundance. Baal HaSulam, The Study of the Ten Sephirot, Inner Observation, Chapter 4, Item 17. That is, the Creator's desire is to bestow. A person's desire is to receive. That is why all people are absolutely opposite to the Creator, they do not feel and do not perceive him. We are all spiritually dead. Hence, the body, too, which feeds on the yeast of the Klipat, is also severed from life and is filled with filth. And all of this is because of the will to only receive and not to bestow that is imprinted in it. Its desire is always open to receive the whole world into its stomach. Body means desire, that is, not the flesh, but rather a desire that is always directed at filling itself. Question: It is written that the wicked in their lives are called dead. What does it mean? Answer: Although our physical body is alive, we are still called dead because we do not bestow but receive, that is, we are opposite in our qualities to the Creator. From Cab TV's The Study of the Ten Sefirot, Tess, November 20, 2022. I'd rather have my cow die than my neighbor have to. Comment: A well-known parable explains our nature in the most colorful way. Once upon a time there was a poor man, he had a rich neighbor. And the poor man prayed to the Creator, "I want to be as rich as he is." The Creator told him, "Please. I'll give you everything. I'll give it to you, and I'll give him twice as much. You will be rich, he will be twice as rich. You'll have a house, he'll have two houses." Then the poor man said, "Then pull out one of my eyes so that the neighbor will lose two. And there is another ending, then beat me half to death." There are a lot of different options here. My response: Yes. We see this today too in skirmishes, in wars. Question: Is there still such a thing? It's not as scary that my cow died as it is that my neighbor's one is alive. Humanity has come up with a lot of such beautiful quotes. Tell me, why can't we focus on our happiness? Answer: You can't experience happiness in isolation from others. Only in comparison. Comment: But I was given a house, I have a warm home, I have all the wealth. Why do I have to always notice that he has two houses and suffer from it? My response: For this, it is necessary to correct the nature of man. There is no other way. Question: I will always suffer if he has better and more than I do? Answer: Yes. This is egoism. I can't look at what I have, I look at what the other has. And I may have several times more than him, but he also has. And as long as he exists and he has something, that's what I want. Look at children as they take toys from each other. You convince them, "You don't need it, look, you have this." "No, it doesn't matter." He hides his toy behind his back and demands what the other has. That's what nature is. Comment: But I, as a parent, instruct him and tell him the right things. I say, "Give the other." My response: But he doesn't want to listen. Comment: He doesn't want to listen? But I want him to do it. My response: It doesn't matter, the Creator wants it. Question: Through me? Answer: Yes, sort of. You're acting like a creator here. And it doesn't help. Question: So I pick up this formula when I'm a parent, nevertheless? Answer: Yes, of course. Comment: I like this formula. Answer: Because you are no longer a child. Comment: Yes, but I tell him, share with him, give it to him. My response: No, he will hold and cuddle it. Comment: That's for sure. But I lead to the fact that I myself continue to be the same as a child. I look, it's better there, and I'm already nervous. My response: That is absolutely right. Question: This is how we eat ourselves. We just devour everything inside ourselves. Is that what we're dying from? Answer: Apparently. Question: And what should we do with all this? Answer: Continue. Question: Until when? Answer: While we are living. We still have to spread our idea, the Creator's plan, and it will work. Question: What is the Creator's plan? Answer: It is for us to rise above our egoistic nature. And it will work. Question: And then how will I look at my neighbor if I rise above nature? Answer: As a partner in the implementation of a common plan. Question: That he, too, is moving toward rising above egoism? Answer: Yes. We just need to educate everyone. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, October 13, 2022. The Truth About Virtual Relationships. Kabbalah and Relationships. Tips on how to build successful relationships based on the spiritual principles and understanding of our nature. Virtual relationships are the product of our own imagination. Many people today create virtual romantic connections on social sites such as Facebook. They meet other people, share pictures, and even fall in love with their virtual partners. The reason we are so drawn to our virtual partners is because the connection we make with them is non-material, detached from physical contact, and even spiritual in a way. Since we're not tied down by any physical limitations, we're let free to fantasize as much as we want to attribute all the best qualities to our virtual significant other, and to raise our connection with them into the clouds, so to speak. We convince ourselves of how special this connection is, and that it's an opportunity to reach beautiful, perfect love. But unfortunately, it's all an illusion. Over the internet, a person's physical features are hidden and his inner aspects emphasized. One can express himself in any way he wants to, but the problem is that we lose sight of reality as we become unknowingly immersed in this game. We forget that we aren't dealing with a real person, but with our own imagination. When we see someone in real life, in person, then we can tell whether they really have certain traits or not, and we can see whether those traits are real. On the internet, however, we only see a carefully selected picture and read a few lines that are more likely than not to be lies, and we go off imagining things that are completely unrealistic. However, the moment we meet our virtual partners in person, this sweet fantasy bubble bursts. Higher education, how to raise happy children. Kabbalah on education. Kabbalah comes to the rescue to today's education and parenting crisis. Practical suggestions on education and for solving conflicts between parents and children. Education does not create anything new, but rather reveals what is already hidden within a person. Rav Kook, Essays of the Raya, p. 100. One can find valuable tips in guidebooks on raising children. A good tip can very often save months or even years of indecision and frustration, and help families out of dead-end situations. However, we frequently encounter questions or situations that catch us unprepared, and leave us wondering if we are capable of responding appropriately. In such situations, our response typically amounts to a perplexed smile or an obscure hum, covering up our lack of knowledge and great indecision as to what actually is the proper thing to do. Being aware of children's developing curiosity and of many parents' distress, we decided to collect a few practical suggestions in each issue based on the authentic wisdom of Kabbalah, which relate to issues of the soul, to education and to the huge questions of little people. Enjoy. An answer to every question. Being parents will never be an easy job. In addition to long sleepless hours and concern for children's support and welfare, we find the most difficult and truly challenging task of all, supplying answers to each question they raise. Surely many of you are familiar with the scenario in which the sweet child opens a pair of huge, curious eyes, innocently looks you straight in the eye, and mercilessly shoots questions relating to the meaning of life and its purpose. In such cases, it doesn't really matter if you're a Dr. Spock fan, or a fervent reader of Tracy Hogg, author of the popular bestseller, Baby Whisperer, you will most probably be left without answers, as the answers to these questions are not found in books. That is precisely why we have chosen to dedicate the first tip of this section to the question of how to answer those huge questions asked by the little people growing up in our homes. Should we tell them what we think, even if the answer is not so easy to digest, or should we evade a confusing answer, and leave them to cope with the question at a future stage in their lives? Always tell the truth, but be consistently gentle. Be direct with the child, direct to the end, otherwise you will not gain his trust, since a child is sensitive to any falseness, as benign as it may be. Janusz Korczak. Above all, realize that children are sensitive by nature. If they detect that anything is being concealed from them, it can disrupt the entire system of mutual trust and respect with their parents. Therefore, if you hold important information or deep insight regarding life, don't hide it from your children. They are thirsty for that knowledge. It is always preferable not to hide the truth from children. However, there is no need to burden them with issues they are still emotionally unprepared to handle. Practically speaking, if the truth is not simple, try to simplify and adapt it to the child's world of imagery, in a gentle and non-threatening way, so as not to pressure them. Remember that every story you tell your children comes to life and becomes real. It is your obligation as parents to be sensitive to the emotional and mental development of your children. Only in accordance with their emotional maturity, will you be able to reveal an additional level of the wisdom of life that you have accumulated over the years. Therefore, sometimes it is better to wait for the demand for additional knowledge to come from the child himself, so he feels he is not being pushed into something he did not even request. His expression of willingness signals you that he is ready to absorb a deeper response. Lend an attentive ear and follow his reaction to the things you tell him. That is how you will be able to ensure that you are not burdening him too much and confusing him. If you do not know the true answer to questions, don't be afraid to admit it, but don't evade your responsibility towards them to search for the answer, together with the children. As Albert Einstein once said, "What is important is to not stop asking questions." The Great Rebellion and the Little One as well. As parents, we tend to give our children quite a lot of advice, but many times, they listen carefully and then proceed to do the complete opposite. For some reason, in most cases, an individual feels the need to do the exact opposite of what was explained to him, and to discover better and more suitable solutions than those that were tried by their parents, to live his own life. Even though it doesn't always succeed, that aspiration doesn't seem to escape anyone. Almost everyone rebelled at some point against his parents. Still, when watching our toddlers grow, one of the things we fear most of all, is that they will do the same. Where does that aspiration to rebel against the previous generation's entire legacy stem from? How can we cope with it most efficiently without forcing our opinion and without hindering the child's development? Advising through honesty and friendship. Kabbalah explains that when an individual is asked to change, naturally he resists, because the aspiration for change did not stem from him, and he does not feel any benefit to be gained by that. The truth is that in most cases he is correct. Why? Because most of the advice we receive from our parents results from the thought patterns they absorbed in their childhood, and suits them, not us. Thus, subconsciously, their advice primarily serves them, not us, therefore it is not acceptable to us. Likewise, it is important to realize that subconsciously, every parent secretly hopes that his children will continue in his footsteps. Therefore, he inculcates them with his own concepts and values. In order to create efficient and healthy communication with a child, we need to understand that each new generation has new and different values from our own, ones which do not match our expectations. If we ignore this conflict between parents' aspirations and the new level of the child's development, it will inevitably end in rebellion. Through the observation of the nature of man, Kabbalists have concluded that the only chance of a child listening to a parent is if he feels he will benefit from taking the advice. Therefore, it is wise to give advice or an explanation that will provide the child with the feeling that by accepting it, he will personally gain something that is not necessarily connected with the parent. That requires a parent to be honest with himself, and to examine the essence of his advice. He must continually ask himself, who is this advice actually serving? It is vital for the advice not to appear in the form of do's and don'ts, but to cause the child to understand by himself, within himself, what he needs to do. That way, he won't feel that a certain process is being forced upon his life, but will feel that the idea of change developed independently within him. Another interesting point that Kabbalists bring up is that within the depths of his heart, each child longs for a true friend. One of his greatest hopes is to discover true friends, even in siblings and in his parents. Deep in his heart, a child is ready for such a relationship with his parents. Therefore, in order to create a true dialogue with children, parents need to learn how to become a friend and a big brother. He should try to create mutual trust which is not based on honor or control, but on true friendship and partnership towards the attainment of any common goal, one which is based on unconditional love. Good luck. The power of women. Kabbalah and women. An insight into women's inner quest and spiritual development. Women can change reality by fulfilling their spiritual role in the world. Women should realize that in their hands lies great power. They are the ones who can change the world. How? By understanding and fulfilling their spiritual role in the world, just as they understand their role in the family. Women naturally know how to organize the family, how to make it all work, how to care for children, husband, and kitchen. They should understand equally well that they have an inner ability to know how the world has to be organized according to its spiritual root. They should also know that they have the power to make the men execute their will. We see that humanity is becoming a small house, a small village. Men have tried numerous times to lead it, but it hasn't brought us much good. So the problems that are surfacing today make the women feel that they must come forward. Let us hope that men will listen, yet it is essential that women will know what to say. If connection is not in the name of good. Comment: in principle, our world is built on connection. Either way, people gather in some kind of enterprise, around some idea, for example, football, etc. My response: they connect by an egoistic purpose, to benefit from the connection instead of letting the other win. Like the mafia or some organization that needs to be strong in order to defeat others. If the connection is not directed for the sake of good, peace, love, or revelation of the upper state, then it is contraindicated. In any case, it will lead to a bad result, as we saw in the example of the Soviet Union, where the idea of unity, brotherhood, equality, and solidarity was emasculated. In the beginning, they were really calling everyone for this, everyone was considered brothers, equals, everyone was united, there was an urge, and it did not matter that everyone earned 120 rubles, very little. This attracted people, and in the West they could not suggest something equal to this, although they received many times more money. But one received 500 times more, and the other only 5, and this difference spoils everything for a person. But when everyone earns 120, then it is better. If only this idea were promoted. But this requires a spiritual background. Therefore, the lack of proper education when no one understood how to do this gave its result. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Mind of the Crowd, November 23, 2013. Michael Lehtman, on Quora: how would you define harmony in life? Harmony in life depends on balance with the environment, that is with the still, vegetative, animate and especially the human levels of nature. Our lives are a constant quest for such balance, which is very hard to achieve. We can achieve harmony in life when everyone reaches a harmonious state. All it takes is a single person to knock the entire system out of balance, so in order to achieve a harmonious life, we need to consider how every single person can learn what it means to achieve harmony. Based on Cab TV's Kabbalah Express with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman on November 18, 2022.